so far, first we saw that Jesus is the Word of God. After, out of John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, as the Word of God, He is the ultimate expression of God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Second, Jesus is the Lamb of God. Remember, John the Baptizer said to two of his disciples, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He is the ultimate sacrifice because He is God's Lamb, the Lamb of God. So he is absolutely and totally sufficient for the sins of the world. Week three, we learn that Jesus is a Messiah and Christ, a name Messiah being the Hebrew name, Christ being the Greek representation of that. As that, He is the ultimate missionary and representative of God. Last Sunday, we saw John chapter 1, verses 49 and 51, that Jesus is Son of God and Son of Man. One title that was spoken of Him, one that He spoke of Himself there, but it wasn't one that He stuck with. It wasn't one that He said too much, not the first one especially. In that we see that Christ possesses both full deity and full humanity all at the same time, but He didn't use His deity for His own advantage. You know, He never went poof, popcorn. It just didn't happen like that. Nothing for His own advantage, but to facilitate His ministry as Messiah. This morning, we're going to come back to a moniker that we saw last week. It was attributed to Christ in the second half of John chapter 1, verse 49. There, Nathanael calls the Lord Jesus Christ the King of Israel. He is the King of Israel. It was a title that was used only three other times in the entire New Testament. Four total times in the entire New Testament. It's used once. We're going to be looking at this one today, John 1, verse 49, the second part of the verse. But we'll see that this is a title that is confirmed all the way across both Old and New Testaments. A parallel title, albeit used in a very, very negative sense, is King of the Jews. King of the Jews. So King is a title that ought to cause us to look within. It ought to cause us to consider where our allegiance lies. In other words, who's your king? Who's your king? Are we devoted to our work? Are we devoted to our friends, our lifestyles, or to our possessions more than we are to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, look out, Ed. You need those extra microphones for that. Or is our first loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ? When He comes again, and He is coming again, we believe that. When He comes again, will He find us more active in His work of building His kingdom and making disciples? Or will He find us kind of doing our own thing? Doing our own thing. With His work way down the list of priorities. Get your Bibles as we consider two positive and two negative ways that the title King was used as they apply to the Lord Jesus. We're going to go to several passages. This is a lot of Bible, a little bit of Ed. I've been accused of reading the Bible too much in church, to which I give a big thumbs up. So get ready. We have a lot of Bible today. A lot of Bible. There are going to be a lot of places. We're going to hit them really fast. We're going to bullet them. Make sure you write down the addresses as we go in your outline. Okay, before we study, before we look into God's Word, the Bible, let's pause, let's pray, and ask the Spirit of God to be our teacher. Lord, we love You. We are glad to be here as a family of believers. We thank You for each one who has come. We thank You for each of our guests who are with us today. And we pray, Lord, that as You were waiting for us to arrive and You were with us in our homes as we're getting ready, You got us here safely. To experience this dear fellowship. Lord, may we be attentive to Your word today, that it would speak into our lives and we would walk away realizing the responsibility that we have if Jesus is really who it was said of Him that He is, the King. We believe He is, Lord. So speak to our hearts, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, the King of Israel. If you haven't already, open your Bibles to John chapter 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, in the New Testament section. We're going to begin in verse 45. We'll start a little bit earlier than our key verse today. You should have an outline there if you want to take notes. In just 3 years, this title, King, became one of the most inflammatory titles assigned to the Lord Jesus Christ. What in the first week of his public ministry was positively used would in the final week become a jeer. It would become a scornful slur intended to insult the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God in flesh. The way Nathanael used it in John chapter in verse 49, got my tongue tangled there. In verse 49 of John chapter 1 was with the very best intent from his perspective. For Jesus there, King was a title of praise. It was a title of praise. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." When Nathanael says to the Lord Jesus Christ, "You are the King of Israel," he's speaking in the Old Testament sense of the words. For hundreds of years, predictions of a coming king were out there. They're floating around and they were intensifying in this particular time in history. Now here in Israel, there is no small desire for the liberating king to arrive on the scene and break the heavy yoke of Roman occupation in the Holy Land. And their rule, their heavy hand of rule over the Israelites. Don't miss the fact that Nathanael says, "You are the King of Israel." You, not just you are a king, you are the King of Israel. There was real expectation of that Messiah would come and reclaim the Davidic throne. He would take the throne from his ancient ancestor, King David. Surely Nathanael knew those prophecies. I mean, he grew up in the synagogue. He had been through his bar mitzvah. He knew certainly he knew the basics. Isaiah said it this way in Isaiah chapter 9, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince, Eternal Father," here it is, "Prince of Peace." Prince of Peace. 7, "There will be no end to the increase of his government of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. For then, on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." And then Daniel chapter 7, beginning in verse 13, "I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion," that's rule, "dominion, glory, and a kingdom that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him." Him. "His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed." It won't. Not going to happen. Micah 5, write it down. Micah 5:2, but as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, for from you one will go forth to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. And the prophet Zechariah, it's all over the place, folks. The prophet Zechariah, Zechariah 9, verses 9 and 10. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the bow of war will be cut off, and he will speak peace to the nations, and his dominion will be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Whatever it was about whatever it was in Jesus' words about seeing Nathanael under that fig tree, it sparked in Nathanael's heart. It brought out his praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. Nathanael attributed to Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter's son, all the weight and authority of God's promises and prophetic predictions all across the Old Testament scriptures, those Jewish scriptures. For Jesus, king with the title of praise that day. And guess what? Nathanael was right. Jesus is the king. He is the king promised by God the Father all across the scriptures. In Matthew and Luke, his earthly father Joseph's and his mother Mary's lineages, did you know this? They trace the direct bloodline all the way back to King David. Both of them, they're direct descendants of King David, and that coalesces in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He absolutely has bloodline rights to the kingdom there. Jesus was in the kingly bloodline in Israel. There in 49, surely king of Israel was a statement, well, let's face it, probably Nathanael didn't fully get it. He didn't fully understand everything and all the implications of what he was saying there. He didn't grasp the full scope of what he was voicing there. But when he intended the phrase of Israel, at a very important level, Nathanael, an Israelite, behold an Israelite in whom there is no deceit, you are the king of Israel. He's declaring the son of Joseph to be his king, his own king. Verse 47, Jesus calls him an Israelite right there. For everybody around to hear. So before the revelation of the fig tree, there is no record of whether or not Nathanael had spoken to Jesus, and certainly not in this kind of a respect. It's nowhere, there's no other record of that. But after this fig tree comment, whatever that was, he addresses Jesus as Rabbi, a term of respect, and he proclaimed him to be the king of the Israelites. His king. He probably didn't understand all the implications, but on that day, Nathanael placed his initial allegiance in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn a few pages over to John chapter 6. It's over to the right of where you are if your Bible is open. John chapter 6. As his public ministry of teaching and healing and miracle working continued, it grew clear that the Jewish people had their eyes on Jesus, not as a Savior, but as the promise or the promised Messiah, but as a man of political potential. So, for Jesus, king became a title of pain. Became a title of pain. John 6, he fed the multitude with the small lunch of a small boy. John chapter 6, verse 11. Then Jesus took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated. Likewise, also the fish as much as they wanted. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the leftovers so that nothing is lost. And he grinned probably when he said that. I think he did. So they gathered them up and filled 12, there were 12 of them, 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Therefore, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, this is truly the prophet who has come into the world. So Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force and make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. By himself alone. When he realized they're going to make me king. King was a title that absolutely belonged to Jesus Christ. But he knew that his kingdom was still in the future. He knew that it was still ahead of him. In his first coming, he was on earth to redeem sinners. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's there to be the Redeemer. He became flesh to live a sinless life. He became flesh to die as a substitute sin offering for all of humanity. He did not become flesh at that time to rule the world as its king. That's in his future, and it's in our future. In John 12, beginning in verse 12, his heartache grew as the crowd that would soon call for his crucifixion was now calling for his coronation. John 12, beginning in verse 12. On the next day, the large crowd who had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took the branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him and began to shout, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, Fear not, O daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. So this moniker that Nathanael uses sincerely in John chapter 1, in the first week of Jesus' public ministry, a title of honor to him that day would echo in mockery the final week of his mission of mercy, when in that week for Jesus king was a title of persecution. Became a title of persecution. John 18. Now keep turning to the right. Judas Iscariot has betrayed Jesus into the hands of the Jewish believers. I mean the Jewish leaders who intend to murder him, to kill him, to put him out of sight and hopefully out of mind. As the night progresses, the Jewish leadership's leaders parade Jesus back and forth between the Jewish and the Roman authorities. We pick up this account in John 18, beginning in verse 28. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the praetorium, and it was early, and they themselves had not entered into the praetorium so that they would not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. Stop right there. They're about to murder the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're concerned about being defiled by these pagan Romans, so that now they can do the Passover. What are you thinking? Come on. 29. Therefore, Pilate went out to them and said, What accusation do you bring against this man? They answered and said to him, If this man were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him to you. Obviously, he's a bad guy, or we wouldn't be bringing him here, Pilate. So Pilate said to them, Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law. The Jews said to him, We are not permitted to put anyone to death, to fulfill the word Jesus of Jesus, which he spoke, signifying by what kind of death he was about to die. Therefore Pilate entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me? See, he's not denying. He's not denying. Did others tell you about me? Pilate answered, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you to me. What have you done? And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Therefore Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, for this I have come into the world to testify of the truth." I've been born for this. I've been born to testify of the truth. I've come into the world to testify of the truth. "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Then, when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I release someone to you at the Passover. Do you wish that I release to you the King of the Jews?" And they cried out, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Pilate then took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted together a thorn of crowns and put it on his head with a purple robe, that's royalty robe, royalty color, a purple robe on him. And they began to come up to him and say, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they gave him slaps in the face. Pilate came out again and said to him, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you so that you may know that I find no guilt in him." Jesus then came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." So when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify! Crucify!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by that law he ought to die because he made himself out to be the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. And he entered in the praetorium again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "Do you not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and I have authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You have no authority over me except it has been given to you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin." As a result of this, Pilate made efforts to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself out to be a king opposes Caesar." Therefore, when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and set him down on the judgment seat and at a place called the pavement, in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was a day of preparation for the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." And they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he handed him over to them to be crucified. They took Jesus, therefore, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. There they crucified him. And with him two other men, one on either side, and Jesus in between. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It was written, "Jesus the Nazarene, King of the Jews." Therefore, many of the Jews read the inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. Probably the inscription that we see the most in Christian art and on crosses, crucifixes, is the Latin I-N-R-I. Jesus Nazarenus Rex Judeorum. Jesus the Nazarene, King of the Jews. Verse 21 now. So the chief priests of the Jews were saying to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews." And Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Verse 12, chapter 19, scroll up a little bit, makes it clear that Jesus fully understood, the Jews fully understood that Jesus was claiming the Davidic throne. They absolutely got it. And for that reason, they wanted to murder him. They wanted him dead. At his crucifixion, Matthew 27 records the final abuses of our Savior. The same title Nathanael used as a blessing was now used as a curse. Matthew 27, verse 41. In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of the Jews, King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him." Wow. What might have happened had they bent the knee, had they bowed their strong wills unto Jesus as their Messiah and their King? We're never going to know that in this life. Two verses from John chapter 18 stand out, verses 36 and 37. Even though the title King is fitting for our Lord Jesus, it was one that he acknowledged. You heard him say that to Pilate. He acknowledged it, but he avoided it. Before Pilate and everybody else within earshot, Jesus owned the title King. But he knew that his kingdom was still in the distant future, because for Jesus, King was a title of promise. It was a title of promise. John 18, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." My kingdom is not of this world, not of this realm. Two were both his claim to the throne of David and a forecast of his future coronation as the ultimate Davidic king in his millennial kingdom, a kingdom that's still in our future as well. His words in verse 37 lay out the purpose of his first coming as Savior and intimate his second coming as King. Therefore, Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this reason I have been born, and for this reason I have come into the world to testify of the truth. Everyone who's of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate said, "What is truth?" What if, if only Pilate had not walked away from Jesus in verse 38, when he said, "What is truth?" Maybe Jesus would have repeated the words that he said back in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." A number of New Testament passages speak about Jesus' promised kingdom. I'm going to give you four in a row, four bullets. Luke 1:31-33. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob, and his kingdom will have no end." 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes in verse 22, "As For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ the first fruits. After that, those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, and he has, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13, I charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things and of Christ Jesus who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion, rule, eternal rule. Amen. Got to go to Revelation 19. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of lords. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. A long time ago, a young man named Nathanael assigned to Jesus that profound moniker, King of Israel. Jesus didn't turn away from it, yet it was not a title. It was a title that he did not allow to take priority over his mission as Savior of the world. He followed his Father's plan. He did the work of dying and redeeming the world, paying for the sins of the world. He followed what his dad set him out to do. And one day before long, Christ Jesus will take up the throne of his ancestor David, the throne of which he is the one and only rightful heir. We asked at the beginning, and we ask again, O believer, where does your loyalty lie? Where does your loyalty lie? Is your allegiance in your lifestyle? Is your allegiance in making a living? Is it in what you own? Is it in what owns you? If Jesus is your Savior and he's not yet your King, then claim him today as your King. Do it. Do it today. Claim Christ as your King. Give the Lord Jesus Christ first place in your life. Give him your loyalty and proclaim Jesus to be your King of Kings. To others who need to hear those words come out of your own life. And a life well lived speaks in honor of Jesus, who is our King. Pray with me now. Lord, you are our King, the King, King of Kings. We worship you. We bow our heads and our hearts before you, Lord. May we live the truth May we live allegiant unto you and to you alone above all and anyone else. We proclaim it in your name, Jesus. Amen.